Interesting developments in Israel yesterday, a meeting between Jared Kushner and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Apparently, there was a call for the creation of a demilitarized zone in southern Syria. And to help us understand why this is happening or the purpose of such a request is Adar Weinreb, a peace and conflict analyst. Again, wonderful to have you with me on Chai FM, Adar.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be back.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly is Netanyahu proposing and why now?
So it's always hard to know the motivation of politicians and what's driving them. So I'll present it in two different ways. One, we could look at it in truly what's best for the security of Israel. And there's a strong case to be made that having a demilitarized zone on the border with Israel, especially a country that still has not achieved stability since the change in rulership, that seems to be ultimately good for Israeli security. Is that the primary motivation? Hard to know. We do know that we can speculate, but it seems Netanyahu, to a large degree, is motivated by self-preservation and his legacy. And October 7th was a massive blow to his legacy. And it seems like one of the best ways to get people to forgive and forget is for him to have other victories elsewhere, to fight Hezbollah and to bomb Syria and to bomb Iran. And at the end of the day, he wants to come and say, look what I did for you. Look how I ultimately am the prime minister that made us more safe. So I think it's probably a combination of both those things are his motivating factors.
So the idea of a demilitarized zone, it sounds like a good diplomatic solution. In your opinion, though, how realistic is it, given the situation on the ground in Syria, southern Syria in particular, right now?
I mean, I think maybe in the short to medium term, it's an interesting solution, but I want to give the benefit of the doubt to al-Sharqa, the new leader of Syria, who is ex-Al-Qaeda, right? But I have been one
Sure,
who for a long
sure.
time has said, look at the history of terrorists turned statesmen. We should embrace this change because sometimes that's the best path towards progress and ultimately peace. Many of Israel's prime ministers also engaged in acts that many would consider terror, only to become legitimate statesmen. We've seen this time and time again throughout history. So I want to believe that al-Sharqa is somebody who we can work with. He has shown interest. I mean, he's in Washington, D.C. now. He's meeting with Trump. He's trying to normalize ties with the U.S. and with Israel, and with the West in general. If he's sincere in this, we should support him in his ability to secure all of Syria. So there won't be any need for a demilitarized zone. That is their sovereign territory, and we should support al-Sharqa in being able to stabilize the situation. I think that ultimately will be best for the people of Syria, best for the people of Israel, and give us the best possible chance of potentially normalizing ties with one another.
Adara once read a commentator refer to Israeli and Middle Eastern politics in general as three-dimensional chess. And I thought that was a really great way of putting it because there's just so many moving parts. And I'm listening to you talk and I'm following it. And then I'm thinking, yeah, but there's a huge problem with the Druze in southern Syria that they have vis-a-vis the centralized Syrian authority. And then there's issues with the Israeli Druze and their commitments that they want from Israel, protecting their brethren. I mean, hell's bells. How does one play this game of three-dimensional chess?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. There's so many different moving pieces, iterations. Let me even just present one. You could see a very strong case that Israel should protect minority groups being killed in Syria if they have the ability to. Right? I think most people would agree, let's protect the Druze population. But there's also the dynamic now that those Druze are now aligned with Israel, so it's creating more animosity towards them, decreasing their security if Israel ever pulls out. So in the big picture, will this ultimately be good for that Druze community, or will they now seen as collaborators with the state and be more isolated and more hated by fellow Syrians? I'm not sure. So I definitely want them to be protected. But I get the sense there's a way to work with the Syrian government in coordination with Israel to ensure that those populations are protected. That's very much within the realm of possible, and I think we should strive to achieve that.
What do you think about the status of the Golan? I'm thinking back to the fact that President Trump has recognized the annexation by Israel of the Golan. I've read in the last 24 hours that Al-Shara clearly doesn't seem to agree with this approach. In fact, that seems to be a stumbling block for him joining Abraham Accords or signing a peace deal with Israel. What do you think, or what are you reading? What are his views, his stated views on the Golan?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think Al-Shaar is in a very interesting position because, and many politicians face this. I think Abbas has a similar consideration, but it's how can you try to make progress without having your own people turn on you, right? So,
Interesting.
and we saw this happen to Sadat. Sadat made peace with Israel, and he was killed for it. Al-Shaar, and we actually heard someone close to him share this, that he can't make too many concessions to Israel because he'll be overthrown if he does. So I think from a purely pragmatic perspective, if
Balancing
we're looking
act.
purely excuse me, I'm overcoming
Coughing a
something.
bit.
Yeah. from a purely pragmatic perspective, Al-Shaarah is going to want to normalize ties with Israel, but he will want to do so while remaining in power and alive. So he can't just say, you know what, take the Golan Heights. He probably cannot successfully do that. So he's looking for some compromise. I think what he presented was a third will be return, or a third will be given to Israel, a third will be leased by Israel, a third will be returned. Some compromise like that, which I don't think there's, with this current leadership in Israel, any chance of that being the case. But that's what he presented. Now, this is purely from a pragmatic perspective. We could see why he would want to do that. From an ideological perspective, here it's much harder to know what motivates Al-Shaar, because we know he has been acting quite pragmatically. But you know, his old name was Al-Julani.
Jolani, which
Jolani
translates,
means
doesn't it, as
Golan.
from the Golan.
Yeah, his
Yeah,
family's
that's
from
what.
the Golan. So is there some ideological drive to reclaim that land? I mean, it's possible. I won't come here and say that's not a motivation of his. But from a purely pragmatic perspective, we could see that's how he's acting. He wants to compromise. He's looking for some middle ground solution. Will Israel go for it? Probably not, but think we should could at least appreciate the effort being made.
I suppose the final question for you in this regard, the impact of Iran. What's the relationship like between Syria and Iran, and to what extent could we see Iranian-backed militias very close to or on the Israeli border?
You know, I think this is actually decreased since Assad fell. One of the reasons why Israel supported the rebels in their fight against Assad was because it was to weaken the Iranian coalition, which was essentially Iran, Hezbollah, Assad, and I guess you could say Hamas as well, and the Houthis, right? They were kind of this Middle Eastern coalition. They were greatly weakened by Al-Shaarah, who is a Sunni, is not looking for, he's trying to buddy up to the West, not the East. So if we can find a way to normalize ties with Al-Shaarah, normalize ties with Syria, that will significantly decrease the chance that you'll have militias on Iranian militias on Israel's border. If there's a situation where there's mass instability, then anything can happen. But if Israel does not want those Iranian militias there, it's in our best interest to stabilize the situation as best we can.
Adar Wanrep, thank you as always for chatting to us on Chai FM. Valuable, interesting input this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.